Good evening. Take your hymnal and turn to 435. 435. Love divine, all loves excelling. We'll ask you to stand as we sing. Standing.
Our gracious God and our eternal loving Heavenly Father, we draw nigh to thee tonight in our Savior's precious name, thankful for thy grace and thy goodness to us another day. Lord, we are thankful that thy mercies are new every morning, and great is thy faithfulness. And we come tonight to lift up our voice in praise to thee. We thank thee for the great salvation that is ours through the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for his perfect life and his atoning death. We thank thee for his bodily resurrection and his ascension to thy heavenly places. And we bless thee tonight that Christ is seated at thy right hand, a prince and a savior, and ever liveth to make intercession for us. We thank thee tonight that we are accepted in him. We are accepted because of his great work. And our Father, we thank thee tonight, therefore we can come to thee as thy children, no longer with that spirit of fear, but with the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And we do thank thee for the way that's opened for us to approach thy courts in prayer. We pray tonight for thy help in this meeting. We do thank thee for bringing us together. We thank thee for Dr. McCauley and the young people who are with him tonight. And we ask, Lord, thou wilt bless them as they present the need of the work that thou hast laid before them for the summer. That, Lord, thou wilt encourage their hearts. And as they commence these meetings to present that need to different congregations, Lord, thou wilt go with them, grant them journeying mercies, bless as the word goes forth and as they sing thy praise. And we ask, Lord, thou wilt encourage them in their own hearts. And then as they travel in the summer, Lord, we ask that thou wilt undertake for every detail that thou wilt meet their every need. We pray for that unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace to be their portion. We ask, Lord, that thou wilt undertake for every detail of all the matters that they're involved in and all the arrangements that need to be made. Bless the young people also. Keep your hand upon them and bless them. We pray, Lord, that these months that are before them might be months in which they grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless this congregation too in all its various needs. We think of those who are not well tonight. Lord, we pray for thy blessing to be upon them, for thee to come and meet them at the very point of their need. And though they cannot be here tonight, we ask, Lord, that they might know thy grace and thy blessing. Be with all who are here. Close us in with thyself tonight, we pray. Thrill our souls as we hear of Christ, both in song and in the word. We pray, Lord, tonight that thy name might be magnified amongst us. Hear and answer prayer. Do us good, we pray. Pour out thy Holy Spirit upon us. Revive and quicken and refresh and renew our hearts, we pray. We thank thee that Christ is the one who restores our souls. We pray, Lord, even tonight as we've gathered here in thy house and with thy people, that thou would restore our souls and bless us and strengthen us for the days to come. Hear and answer prayer. Bless us as we continue now before thee. We pray in our Savior's name. Amen. Let me welcome you tonight to our midweek meeting. It's good to see all who have gathered with us, and that we pray that we'll know in a very real way the Lord's blessing and the Lord's help as we gather here. Give a very special welcome to Dr. McCauley, his wife, and his musical missions team. We always look forward to having them with us in February or March time as they begin going round the churches to present the need of their summer outreach, and we welcome them in the Saviour's name this evening. I'm going to hand over to him, and he's going to introduce the various parts of the meeting. So we welcome you in the Saviour's name. May the Lord bless our time together.
So good to be back with you again. Everybody always wants me to say, how many years is this? You mean my age? Or 23. This is the 23rd musical mission team. We always call the musical mission team, musical mission team 2013. But this is the 23rd team that my wife and I have taken to Europe. And someone has already asked the question tonight, how many years will you keep doing this? I said, ask the Lord, because I don't see any plans to quit yet. I'm aiming for 25. So you pray to that end. I'll be 75 when we do the 25th one. So we're trusting the Lord will let me last that long. Not my wife. She's young, so she's not nowhere near 75. Please don't. I should never have mentioned this even, really. But what a joy it is for us to be able to fellowship all summer with these young people. We believe that these young people behind me are chosen of the Lord for this ministry this summer, and that the Lord has special things for them and things to do through them this summer. And we're so looking forward to what the Lord is going to accomplish in all of our lives throughout this summer's work. So we're going to acquaint you a little bit with this team. Now, a few of us are absent. Miss Tracy Figard from the string faculty is going with us, but she's playing in an orchestra tonight. And then one of my brass players is in a rehearsal tonight. So I didn't have the brass because that was my first trumpet player. This is the first time we've been here without our brass. Well, they're here, three of them, but not the first trumpet player. So that's why we don't have the brass. Aubrey Elliott is going with us for the sixth time, but she is in that rehearsal tonight. And we're always glad to have repeaters because they know the ropes. And let's see, who else is not here? That's it? I got them all? Wow, that's a miracle. Well, we're going to sing another song for you, and then the young people are going to come here and give their names and where they're from. And you know the purpose of that is so you can adopt someone. Adopt them for daily prayer. You will make a difference in the summer for them and in the work of the team if you will faithfully pray for one of these young people, or more if you wish, but adopt one every day, because prayer is what missions runs on. So adopt someone and pray for them. They'll come and give their names. Then we'll show some pictures from last summer's ministry, and then Joseph Dashenko will come with a brief message before we turn it back to the pastor. We thank you once again for allowing us to be here. And by the way, this, you just heard their first song. That was the first time they've sung for anyone. So it's okay. But without the brass, we're a little bit worried about that, because we usually start with a so loud that you can't deny it, you know. But this time, without the brass, I know you can hear the choir. Because sometimes my brass gets very enthusiastic. Sorry, Dr. Overly, about that. But they go for it. But at least you hear something when the brass are there. So we praise the Lord for your interest in this ministry. And keep praying for us.
I know a fountain where sins are washed. Hi, I'm Stephanie Waycaster, and I'm from Arizona.
I'm Brendan Johnson, and I'm from British Columbia.
I'm Mike Achetta, and I'm from Greenville, South Carolina.
I'm Esther Kelly, and I'm from Greenville, South Carolina.
I'm Hector Alonzo, and I'm from Katy, Texas.
I'm Carolyn Sikora, and I'm from Wisconsin.
I'm Abby Chetta, and I'm from Greenville, South Carolina.
I'm Benjamin Cepeda. I'm from Fort Greely, Alaska.
I'm Luke Seelenbinder, and I'm from here in town.
Hi, I'm Patty Knackle, and I'm from Clarkston, Michigan.
I'm Kelly O'Brien, and I'm also from here in Greenville.
I'm Joseph Dyshenko, and also belong to the area.
I'm David Tabor, and I'm here from Greenville.
I'm Marie Craven. I'm from Brevard, North Carolina.
Good evening. I'm Deanna Rodman, and I'm from Alberta, Canada.
Johnny Baker from Salem, Ohio.
My name is Michael Seibert, and I'm also from Greenville.
I'm Becky Hewish, and I'm from the Chicago area.
I'm Elias Williger, and I'm from Switzerland.
Hello, my name is Ryan Martin, and I'm from Portland, Oregon.
And I am Sean Richardson, and I am from here also.
This is our first stop in Switzerland, in Leisigen, where we would stop and recover from jet lag. It's a youth hostel on a lake, and behind us there are beautiful mountains, so it's a place where I can keep the people awake till a good bedtime. But they line up on the balconies here for this picture, the first morning we're there. Then we go to a ministry in France. Our first stop was once again a hostel. We had a day for travel. And the Chateau de Saint-Albin in central France, run by, I think, Grace Brethren people. It's an old chateau that we stayed in there and were able to witness to some other people that were in the chateau that were not believers. Then we went down to Bordeaux, where the Bixbys have been for many years. Bob Bixby and Bonnie, his wife, and now Tim and Ruth are there temporarily. They've just gone back from their furlough here. And we'll be relocating up to the Paris area for their ministry. But you see, we did our first singing out here in this little park area by the train tracks where we were passing out tracks as well. The picture above up there, excuse me, let me go back. He didn't go back. All the way back. I'm so good with technology. Huh? Okay, I want to talk about this. Up here, being one of the longest shopping streets in all of Europe, there in Bordeaux, and we walked up and down and sang and passed out tracts there at the time. And we always like to point out that in Europe, the people stop and read our tracts. It's a more fruitful ministry than it is here. This is still in Bordeaux, and ministry in the church. You see Tim here in this picture, Tim Bixby, who traveled on our team a couple of times, and so did his wife. And this gentleman came to know the Lord. He was sitting on the tracks, attempting, we believe, to commit suicide. And so one of the church members invited him over. He came and heard the gospel, and we're still praying for him for his growth in the Lord. This is off to Perpignan in France on the Mediterranean coast down in southeast France. We minister in the church there, with a Frenchman who is married to a Bob Jones girl, and had a wonderful time of ministry there and preparing tracts. Am I wearing it out? I was trying to point to some things in that picture. We also had a ministry by the Mediterranean Sea, which is where the fan-shaped band shell is. So behind these people who are looking at us, there was a beautiful panorama of the ocean, of the Mediterranean Sea, an opportunity to minister to people there in what is basically a tourist area. And now into the ministry in Germany. And this is in Stuttgart, a ministry we have in a church there, a rather large church. We first started going to Germany. Most of the churches were storefront missionary churches. But since the Iron Curtain came down, the Russians, German Russians, have been coming up back out of the Soviet countries where they went 400 years ago. Their descendants are coming back because they now can. And so there are some very large churches of Christians who maintained the faith all the time they were there under communism and are now having some very large churches. And this is a German-Russian church. And this is more further ministry there with those people in the German-Russian church. They also took us out about an hour away from Stuttgart to another area where this in this concert hall we had a service there as well. Then we went to Zinsheim, where GFA missionary Fred Foster has been for many years, and we had a concert in this old folks' home there. We go there every year. In fact, he takes us usually to two on each of 2 days, so we'll be doing that again this year. But Fred has been in this area and been very faithful over many years in his work there for the Lord. Here are some of the more of the people in the old folks' home, and they enjoy talking to the young people who come to them. They take the tracts and they read them. So you can always be praying for the ministry of the tracts that goes on after we're gone. Albisheim is in southwest Germany, another German-Russian church, and this says we preach Christ Jesus, that he is the Lord. And we have a good time here with these people, ministering with them. They take us on a tour to Worms, where Martin Luther stood in that spot where we always put water on it so it shows up better for our pictures. But the building is no longer there, but that's where Martin Luther stood. And this is the bottom picture, is the front of their church. And then up in the upper right corner is another old folks home where we had a ministry there. Heidelberg, this is a view of the castle that's there in the beautiful city of Heidelberg, where the Mutzkis have been for many years, and now Bill Davis and his family, all GFA missionaries, are there as well. So we had a ministry on the streets. As you see, we were approached at the Bible table there by some Muslims, and that's Herr Mutzki talking to them and at the table for literature. They said they might come, but they didn't. Sometimes you're almost glad you don't have the problem that might come from a Muslim attack. But you can see up in the upper right corner where we were ministering on the street. This is then around the church area. Actually, we're meeting in a kind of a warehouse they have behind their regular church building, where we meet both their school people and their church people. So it's a really good opportunity for us there. And I think the picture on the left is, isn't that a German-Russian church? Yes, they're in Rohrbach, right there in a suburb. This is the Rohrbach church there on the left as well. And then on the right were some more scenes from our ministry there in Heidelberg. Euskirchen is up to the north near Cologne. And this is a school that the people in this Mennonite church have started. So we minister to the school people and then also to the church people as well. We have some graduates of Bob Jones who are teaching in the school and working in this area. Here we are on the streets again. Edward Clausen in the upper right picture is one of our graduates who's there in the area. And you see other people reading the tracts as they've been given to them. And this is going out from Euskirchen to another church, another German-Russian church that's there in the area. And you can see the top right picture is in the school, a school assembly that we had there with some of the teachers in there as well. Gotha is where Stephen King, GFA missionary, is now working, although he is about to come home for a short furlough. And he took us here to the Wartburg, which is, of course, where Martin Luther translated the Bible into German. So we toured the Wartburg Castle, and below this is the Bach's birthplace, which we also toured as well. This is Stephen's church. It's in the building behind one of our vans there. You can see the room that they meet their church in. And Bibelgemeinde Gotha, the Bible Church of Gotha that he has started there. We'll be ministering there again this summer, even though Stephen won't be there. And you see in the lower right, our group before the Wartburg Castle. And then the concert hall they had for us in the upper right, and the outside of it's on the upper left. And once again, the Wartburg Castle on the lower left picture. Now, Heilbronn is farther to the south again, and over toward France. I am the way, the truth, and the life. We've had a very fruitful ministry with these people there in the Heilbronn, once again, a German-Russian church. Here's some scenes talking to people there in that church area. Then we went into Austria. Very interesting here to some of our people. In Vienna is where our primary ministry is there, although we'll have a ministry this summer also in Linz, Austria. But Daniel Overly is setting up our meetings and planning for us there. I heard from him just recently. He wants some of his people to sing with our group. So we will swell our troops there. Here you see us in the church with, there's Todd Hudson and Kai Zoltau. And then we're singing with the people, probably the hymn that Dan Forrest wrote for the 10th anniversary, which was a year ago summer. Then into Switzerland again. At the Gütli, which is a small farm run by wonderful Christian people. This is a vacation place for Christians. And when you come, you can work in the garden if you wish to, or you can loaf. I want to go back and see those cherries again. There we go. This is one of my favorite things, and they know it. And they put them in my room so that I can have cherries while I'm there. And here we have some of our people working around the place, sweeping, cleaning up, working in the kitchen. Taylor Garlock is ironing. What, Kelly, are you ironing there? Yes, she's ironing too, okay. People working in the kitchen. But we try to help them out and then make them able to maybe come to some of the meetings as well. Here we are in their little concert hall down in the lower level of it. And you can see that Joseph's preaching and Kai Zoltau came to translate and to preach some himself. Then Budokan is in Switzerland, not too far from the Gütli. This is where we were really on an outing up in the mountains. It's a shame we have to go on outings in Switzerland. It's so ugly, but we really enjoy it. I would retire there if I had more money, but you do have to have money to retire to Switzerland. They don't want you if you're poor. Now, this is the church in Budokan. They took an old meatpacking plant and made it into a beautiful church. You see our brass playing there and then talking to some of the people around the church area. Nursing home near Budokan, okay. We go to a lot of nursing homes. I get afraid they're going to keep me. But so far I've managed to get out. Oh, yes, this was a Catholic one. Oh, but we give the gospel wherever we go. So thank the Lord for the opportunity there. Then back into Germany again. And to Wetterstedt. This is Christian Gernot. Yes, married one of our girls from the team. Rebecca Kelly, whose sister is on the team. In fact, Esther is the last of the Kellys. We've had every child from that family on our team, 5 of them. And so this is a culmination for us. And Wetterstedt is where, when Rebecca married Christian, she moved to Germany with him and has become a wonderful German Hausfrau. And she really has taken over and runs a meeting for us here in Wetterstedt. Here she sits with the youngest of her children. We see 2 of our instrumentalists there as well, singing there in Wetterstedt. Neuwied is back in Germany again. Now I'm being translated by Tabea Filliger, who was on our team last couple of years. And this is Neuwied's church, one of 2 or 3 that we've been to in the Neuwied area. They are brethren people, and they have several churches because their number is growing all the time. Kazakhstan. They're from Kazakhstan, okay. Then we went to the Black Forest. Dobel is another one of the mission houses. This is an old farmhouse that they converted into a hotel. And we spend the weekend there ministering once again. And we have here some of our young people doing work, including children's work, Kinderstunde we call it, working in the garden, doing some painting of the rabbit hutch and cleaning up things. And we had the birthday of our twins. We're going to miss one of the twins this summer. Only Patty is going with us. But we had a big birthday for them there. Here we are in the Village Church in the upper right corner. In the upper left corner, we're lining up to go in for our concert there. We do this usually yearly. They get the Village Church for us to minister in. Kirchberg is over in back again in East Germany, what used to be called East Germany. And we went to four different churches there. We stay in one of them, the one in Kirchberg, and then we go out to different churches for the days that we're there. So this is the one that is called a Landeskirche. In Susa, right, okay. And the man who is the head elder of the Susa church is in the upper right corner with Joseph. And then you see some of the other people there that we were ministering to. I don't know why I gathered my coat back like that. It is not a very attractive picture. Remind me not to do that anymore. Okay, then Metzingen is around Stuttgart again with another brethren Romanian-German church that we go to each year. These people always put the red carpet out for us, and we have a wonderful time with the people in the Metzingen church. Here you see some of the people that we stay with. I've had my picture taken with that young man where it says game over ever since before he was a toddler. The face is the same, the hair is the same color, but he's gotten a lot bigger. And the people in the upper right corner are people that my wife and I stayed with until they moved out of their three-story house where they lived with their 19 children. And she carried my suitcase upstairs. I couldn't do it. But she's a remarkable woman. Her husband has now had a stroke, and so she's caring for him. But they live in a smaller place now, but we always enjoy renewing acquaintance with them. And in the bottom picture on the right, we're doing what we do a lot of times at the end. We gather around with whoever comes to say goodbye, and we sing the benediction for them to say farewell to our friends that we've made there. Tübingen, of course, is where Didi Mattia, Jürgen Mattia, had a ministry for many years. He's now retired, but we still go there every other year to be with him. That we were singing on the streets of Tübingen here and having a ministry there. And that was one picture. Okay, back into Switzerland now. And Tangen was a new meeting for us. It's actually just across the border in Switzerland. And so there was a beautiful building that we had this meeting in. And we're going back to this area again, but perhaps not to this church, but across the border in Germany, in Singen. But you see our brass here playing. And they treated us to Alpenhorns the morning before we left. Those instruments are really meant to be played outdoors, and they are beautiful. You can hear them across the mountains. And the butt is a Swiss national instrument. And you see various pictures of us with the people there. Then closing out our days with 2 days in Zermatt, one of the tourist places because of this beautiful mountain called the Matterhorn. And we have a time of testimony here and a time of refreshment. And we have this picture made in front of the Matterhorn. We give a copy of each one to each one of the people and let them have a picture taken by themselves with the dog. And we've had a couple who don't really like dogs. And that's a big dog not to like, I'll tell you. So they kind of keep their distance if that's their... But this is a blessed time for us when we get to fellowship with these young people and let them tell us what the Lord has done for them in this summer. And maybe what's going to be different about their lives because of the summer. So we praise the Lord for this opportunity. Here is our verse once again. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Colossians 3:16. And I try to tell people that this is the verse that tells us, the New Testament verse that tells us what we're supposed to be doing with our music, teaching and admonishing. The clearest presentation we have of our ministry as Christian musicians. So we thank the Lord for this opportunity. I think, Joseph, you can come now. We can have the lights back.
Lord, do appreciate your having us yet again. We appreciate your praying for us last year. I know for myself it really was a tremendous summer. I enjoyed it very much. I enjoyed that team. And we would appreciate your prayers again as we endeavor to preach the gospel again. I'm going to just briefly direct your attention to Isaiah chapter 42. One of the things that I did for my own personal devotional time on the team was to try to work my way through Isaiah. I had actually begun reading it prior to actually leaving, and I got done with it in the middle of the trip and ended up reading through it again. I got home and read through it again. Really, the Lord has made this book kind of a new, how should I put it, almost a new love of mine. My pastor's been preaching through this, and it really got me excited about it. So I warned the team that they would probably hear a lot of Isaiah, and here's the beginning of it. When you get to chapters 40 to 48 in this book, of course, there's a lot of judgment going on, and God's judgment of Israel, his displeasure with them, going on up through, particularly chapter 35. But when you get to chapter 40, it's the beginning of comfort for Israel. But one of the interesting things that happens in that section is that God almost challenges either his people, or he almost, in some cases, directly challenges the idols of the nations. In fact, you'll find conversations between God and the idols as if the idols really exist. And God will be saying, almost bringing them together to a challenge, saying, all right, let's prove who really is God. Can you predict the future? Can you tell the things that are going to happen? Or he might address a people group and say, you know, is anyone among you, has any of your prophets been able to say what's going to happen and it actually happens? And of course, the answer to that is no. But with God, this is entirely true. It's interesting that one of the things God predicts is the coming of a certain king. He actually names this king, Cyrus, names him about 150 years before he ever came. Now, that's pretty good record for prophecy, to be able to name someone before he's ever born. But interestingly, in this section, chapter 42, God begins to predict the coming of another person. He's referred to this person, but this person is identified not by name, but by the title, My Servant. So we're going to read this, verses 1 through 9. And one of the exciting things about this is that there's a pretty direct connection made to people like us in this section when it comes to the ministry of God's servant. And of course, we're wondering, who is God's servant? Well, it begins, behold, my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it and spirit to them that walk therein. Now here's what God says. I, the Lord, have called thee, speaking to his servant, I've called thee in righteousness and will hold thine hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, and here's that aspect of prophecy, behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. One of the exciting things, I think, coming out of Isaiah, really 40 through 66, and it occurs over and over again, as God sends his servant, whoever this person is, as he sends him to really be a benefit to Israel, to redeem Israel, you see repeated references to the fact that his ministry is going to expand to someone beyond Israel, here referred to as the Gentiles. I'm going to make you a light of the Gentiles. Something about him is going to benefit people like us. Well, then, who is this person? Remember that Cyrus was predicted 150 years or so in advance. Some 700 years or so later, after this event, we find probably a young couple in the temple area, and presumably an old man approaches them, and they have a young son, an infant boy. And this man takes him in his arms, and he says, really in prayer to the Lord, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared for the face of all people. And do you know what the next line is? A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Who is the servant of the Lord that comes to benefit the Gentiles? That's this boy, Jesus Christ. And what a wonderful thing it is to live on this side of the fulfillment of those prophecies, to be able to recognize that we're not looking for something that we're not aware of. First Peter refers to the prophets who prophesied these things, and they were looking, they were trying to study into these prophecies. We might suppose that they prophesied, and because they prophesied, of course they had great spiritual knowledge and they knew everything that God was saying. Not the case. But 1 Peter tells us that they searched diligently, carefully, to try to figure out, who is this person? What will these times be? But they couldn't. They didn't know. They couldn't figure out the details. But praise the Lord, we have the record of its fulfillment, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ come to redeem not only Jewish people, but Gentile people. And this really gives a basis for the kind of ministry that we're doing, for the kind of ministry that any missionary is doing in the world, because we're going to European people. These are Gentiles. Can we preach the gospel to Gentiles? Yes, because God sent his servant, Jesus Christ, to redeem Gentile people. And really something else is very much implied here. If these European people are to be redeemed, if they're to be delivered from their sins, it's going to take God's servant. They're going to have to be introduced to him. Remember, he says that I'm going to give you as a light to the Gentiles to open blind eyes. There are blind eyes over there. There are people who perhaps don't know anything even about Jesus Christ or this word. There are people who know things but have chosen to reject it. They don't need it. I remember really as an interesting experience in France meeting an older man in the street area. I think it was probably that shopping center area that Dr. Dad mentioned. But a place like that, a crowded area, one of the guys was trying to give him a tract, and I think he indicated to him that he couldn't, read well enough. Somehow he couldn't, it wouldn't have benefited him. So I took the opportunity as a follow-up to just ask him a few questions and to ask him about, his knowledge of Jesus Christ. And the blindness was rather staggering. It's not that he didn't know anything about Christ, but it was his just arbitrary decision. you know, I'm going to do fine on my own. Even when pressed, you know what? You know, you're gambling something pretty big here. You know, you're risking your soul. He was prepared to take the risk, which for someone who, in my position, in whose heart God has worked to open his eyes, the blindness is quite amazing. So this is the kind of thing we're up against. And it's interesting that another burden that I've had on this trip is the young people that we meet in Christian churches. And I have little doubt that there's quite a lot of blindness. There are people in these churches that need to be introduced to Jesus Christ. It's not that they don't know anything about him, but they don't know him personally. And it's reflected in the way they act, the way they deport themselves. That's true here in America as well. So folks, would you, as you pray for us this year, would you pray that God would make the name of Christ known in Europe through us? It's easy to travel on something like this and to get sidetracked by secondary things. Even in ministry, it's easy to get caught up in certain aspects of the ministry and forget that the big picture is that they need to know Christ. And folks, would you pray as well that we, as we travel, that we would know Christ better, that we would really grow in our relationship to him? I've been studying recently in Ephesians chapter 3 the prayer that Paul prays for the Gentile peoples, and he prays that God would do such a work in them by his Spirit that Christ would really dwell in their hearts. And I think that probably is the idea that Christ would be fully at home in them and would have full possession of their hearts. And that's our hearts. And that being so that they, those Gentile people, or we as a team, or all of us here, so that we can comprehend the dimensions of the love of Christ that's been poured out to us. And that so that we can become all that God intends. We can be filled up to the fullness of God. And folks, would you pray that the Lord would stir up our hearts to know Christ, that he would be fully in control of us and would make us like him through this experience. Thank you.
Let me say a word of thanks to Dr. McCauley and the young people who are with us tonight. We do appreciate you coming along. And I think there are cards in the book room.
Yes, no, they're out. They should be there. Maybe they're out the lobby.
Okay, they're in the lobby. So there a letter there as well?
There's a prayer letter.
Prayer letter and cards. So we encourage you to take those as you're leaving tonight. And that'll be an aid to your memory as you're praying for the team as they travel in the summertime. We're going to get to prayer right now. Let me mention some matters for prayer for them and then a couple of things for our own congregation here. You've heard the request, as our brother has preached there, that the Lord would bless the preaching of the gospel. Of course, that's the primary aim. It's why they're going forth. Now, let's pray the Lord prospers their way there and that souls are saved and as they have opportunity to witness that the word will go forth in power and in the demonstration of the Holy Ghost, both in the preaching as well. And as you've noticed there in the pictures, that the older folk will read those, even when the young people have traveled on to the next destination, those tracks are still there. And who can tell what the Lord can do through a gospel tract that's left behind somewhere. So let's pray for the preaching of the word and also the printing forth and the tracks that go out. And also the singing that will be owned of God, and many hearts will be touched there as well. I remember last year Dr. McCauley asking for safety in regard to travel. I can't begin to imagine the problems that could arise crossing those borders and getting back. I know what it's like for us trying to get in here sometimes. Never mind crossing borders and back and forth. So remember that as well, that the Lord will give them journey and mercies as they travel by road and as they go across borders and all kinds of things, that the Lord will be with them and make that an easy passage for them. I mentioned the card. It's there in the lobby or in the book room, so do pick up a copy of that as you're leaving tonight. We will finish around 8:20 or so our prayer time, so you'll have time to meet with the young people. Do come and introduce yourself to them and assure them of your prayers for them. Remember here on the Lord's Day as we gather to worship the Lord. Remember Blanche and Norm as well. They continue to have health issues, as do Ron and Patty. So remember them in prayer especially, that the Lord might be gracious to them at this time. Remember our own seminary students. They will be taking the prayer meeting the last Wednesday in the month. So do keep them before the Lord in prayer as well as they prepare for that. So let's seek the Lord together. I'm going to ask Dr. Overly if he'll lead us off. And then one after another, let's use this time as wisely as we can. And we'll finish a little earlier, just so you have a little extra time to meet with the young people and talk with them. So we'll ask Dr. Overly to lead us tonight. And then one after another, let's seek the Lord together.